And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga. I mean from Tuscaloosa all the way back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, straight across to Fort Benning. I called it Fort Benning. And big old patches of North Georgia and, oh, by the way, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to the phones right now, so we're switching gears. I've talked about the deportation machine for a while. Let me just jump into Dipper number two right now. There's a group out there. Earlier in the show, if you heard my monologue, I branded it as part of the Outrage Industrial Complex. And this new group, I say new, they're not super new. They're a few years old, but they're really starting to perk up. Why? Because our friend Emily Jones says they are like the new BLM. So if you're not familiar with Emily Jones, you should be. She's the founder of Moms for Liberty in Madison County, Alabama, the first Moms for Liberty chapter in the state. And oh, by the way, she's also one of our podcasters. She has the Controversial Mom podcast that came out on Sunday, last night. You can check it out on our rightsidemedia.org. Enough of me talking. Let's bring her in. Emily Jones, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We are good. We're good. Always glad to have you on, and still super glad you're one of our content contributors. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm loving it.
Well, we are too. You do a good job. And by the way, folks, her podcast is called The Controversial Mom, which fits because she's always out there rabble-rousing in the right way, though. Hey, so Emily, let me ask you this. Indivisible, the new BLM. Who are these people? What do you know about them? And is it true they were protesting today in Huntsville?
Yes. They were out loud and proud today. So I'm still learning about them. They've just kind of popped up on my radar, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, because they were holding an event here in Huntsville, and it was, of all places, at a church, talking about their progressive ideas and how they really and truly just hate Trump and hate Musk and all the things. But the local news covered it, you know, shocking. Our leftist media would cover such a thing, but they did. So I just started paying attention to them. And then they ended up canceling a Republican event this past weekend because there were, I guess, concerns of protests
yeah.
at that event.
Is that what that was? It was the breakfast they usually have on Saturdays. And so really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they never came out and said it was indivisible, but, you know, I could piece things together and then obviously just talk around town. But apparently, they've really started threatening to protest all across the country. Like, I've heard that through multiple people with congressional ties, that they're very activated all across the country. And they're hyper-focused on congressmen and women, which is a fascinating aspect to me.
Congressmen and women?
Well, like congresswomen.
Oh, congresswomen.
Like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, like they're not going after senators. It's just members in the House. It's very odd, but whatever. Yes. But yeah, so I started digging into them and then started seeing more and more about how they're tied to George Soros and just all this dark money. But then they claim that they're just a grassroots movement with thousands of chapters all across the country. So It's very interesting. They're tied to the Tesla dealership attacks. There was some other protest that I saw earlier today that they were tied to. So that's why I say they're the new BLM, is they're very violent people and they have dark money supporting them, and they're everywhere. They're just paid agitators everywhere you go.
Yeah. And I wonder, when you said this is the new BLM, I mean, for a while there, BLM was the leftist progressive darling. They could do no wrong. They could get whatever they wanted. People threw money at them. And they basically were fomenters of anger everywhere they went. It was all about show them your outrage, show them your anger. It was going to be, you know, burning and looting, and that was okay. Are you saying that you think this is the replacement for that?
I think so. You know, BLM kind of faded off into the distance, never to be heard of again after they got caught stealing money.
Yeah. Lots,
but they
got to
have something. Yes. They've got to have some group that's out in front doing all the violent things of the Democratic Party that they won't own up to publicly. And that's kind of where this group's headed. I mean, they've been physically attacking these Tesla dealerships and all sorts of crazy things. They're protesting all over the place. So it just seems they're headed that way. They're, like I said, they're obsessed with Trump and Elon. I mean, their mission on their website says that they exist to combat Trump's presidency.
Yeah, in fact, and I saw some of the buzzwords on their website. I went to it, too. They have a thing called the Indivisible Toolkit, which was pretty interesting. But they use all the terms I talked about. They're all about show them your outrage, you know, make your demands known. And it's belligerence. It's a lack of professionalism. It's a lack of decorum. It's a lack of civil order. It's all about just basically mayhem and show them your anger, which is never going to wind up working out really well.
No, not at all. I mean, and you touched on it last hour, talking about just how busy people are. So we've talked to Congressman Barry Moore, who's out of South Alabama, right? We're friends with his wife, and we were talking to her a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about how just crazy busy they are, that they're constantly in D.C. So, you know, I just know through that Dale's not here in town. He's very busy, and when he is here, he's very busy with his limited time at home. So their approach to just forcing him or attempting to force him to do a town hall based on their schedule, it's just not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to make them much more resistant to trying to schedule something when you're constantly being berated. So
this is what I saw.
I don't think they're going to get far.
I don't think so either. And this is what I saw. People who think that works, let me just go ahead and explain life to you. It doesn't work. It only works if the other side is intimidated by you. And most of the time, sending these thousands of carbon copy emails that all say the same thing with a different email address attached to it, because all they're doing is cutting and pasting, and dropping leaflets, you know, all over the place, and storming your doors, and raising Cain, and interrupting your other work on behalf of other constituents. And by the way, a lot of these agitators aren't even his constituents. They drive in from other places to make demands on his office. So the idea that that's going to work is antithetical to common sense. I'll never forget the teachers union here in Alabama. They hated me. And when I was in office, the first year I got my notice that it was my turn to come and speak to the local representatives of the teachers union, I thought, they give me a turn, like you show up. Well, that happened once. And then I decided, what am I doing here? Why would I even just show up on the... And I just let them know, I'm not available on that night, but if you'd like to schedule a time with my office, perhaps I can work with you. They never asked again.
Of course.
No, because they want it on their terms. And they want it when they want it. And they want you... It was less about trying to work with someone. It was more about trying to exert their authority.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's trying to intimidate everybody. I saw on their Facebook page this week how they have literally a protest scheduled every single day, all across Huntsville. That's exactly it. It's just trying to exert authority, intimidate people, just so people bend the knee to exactly what these people want. And like you say, life just doesn't work that way. So they're going to have to get over it because it's not happening.
So they did come to Huntsville today. Did I hear you say like what, 50? Was that off the air we were talking or on the air? About 50 showed up?
Yeah, about 50 showed up outside Dale's office from what I've been told.
Okay.
So they are showing up the numbers. They had a protest this weekend over something. I can't remember what that one was, but they had a pretty good number. I will give them credit. They're very good at getting people together for their cause. I don't know why these people were not working in the middle of the day today, but nonetheless, they had a lot of people show up.
Well, maybe they are, because maybe they're paid agitators.
Exactly.
And speaking of which, funded by George Soros.
Yes, funded by George Soros, funneled through Act Blue, which is already under scrutiny for all their foreign campaign violations.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff all, and good catch on your part. This hadn't even raised my visibility level until you sent it to me. And then, of course, you did your podcast. But I think this is one that bears watching. Let me ask you this real quick, Emily, before we're done. Are these folks, are they, how many of them are locals? Are they citizens? Do you know, or do they have leadership from outside that comes in and organizes? How does that work? Like your mom's for Liberty Madison. You live in Madison.
Right.
A little different.
I don't know for certainty. I have seen in some of their pictures, it's local people. But now, is the leadership local? Or are they all from here? That part, I don't know. But there are some local people that are a part of the efforts, because we've recognized faces in it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, somebody called the show a little while ago and wanted to be put on the air to tell me what I need to ask Congressman Strong when he comes on the air, and it smacked a lot of somebody from Indivisible trying to call in.
That's funny.
It was totally off topic. But I think they missed the whole point. The old thing about, well, they work for us. Yes, in essence, they do. You know what? They also have schedules, and they have other constituents, and they have places they have to be on time, and they have votes they have to cast. And I'm not trying to apologize. I mean, I get frustrated with the Democrats as much as they get frustrated with Republicans, but I'm not gathering up 50 people and marching on their office and demanding to interrupt their day and be heard right then and there about their demands and be angry when I do it. I mean, that's just, there's nothing about that that makes sense. I had a guy, well, I had it all the time, actually. But I remember, I'll never forget, I had a guy call me at, I want to say, I'm an early person. I mean, I'm up at the, you know, butt crack a lot of times. I mean, this morning is like 4:30, but I got a guy call me at 4:15 in the morning one time and wake me up. And I answered the phone. I don't know why I answered it, but I answered it because I thought it must be something super important because they're calling me at 4:15 in the morning. And this guy goes, "There's Phil Williams," because the teachers union always thought it was great they would publish my cell phone number. They didn't know that I gave it to everybody anyway. And I said, "It is?" And he goes, "Yeah, I want to know why you think you can do this and this and this down yonder in Montgomery." And I said, wait. "Why are you calling me at 4:15 in the morning?" "Because that's when I'm up." I said, "Well, there's a thing called office hours." And I hung up on him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still procedure, protocol, decorum. And oh, by the way, anger, if you don't have morality attached to it, really doesn't work.
Yep. It just makes people dig their heels in that much more.
All right. Keep us posted on this, and if you hear more, text me or call back in, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Emily Jones, appreciate you. See you. Yeah, that's, listen, grassroots, I don't mind it. Grassroots is built on nothing but anger and fear and loathing. I'm not a fan. Not a fan at all. There's a way to be productive and firm. And yes, I know that Jesus overturned the money changers' tables, but you know what? He had a morality attached to it. He had a righteous indignation. And that is not what they have here. Because when they come at these things with an immoral position already, and then they couple it with nothing but fear and loathing and stoking people with anger, it does nothing to benefit the overall situation. There's no way to have discourse at that point. Why should we want to stop what we're doing as an elected official and pause our day and say, "Hi, thank you, all the angry people who are breaking things in my lobby and disrupting life and scaring my secretary and keeping me from meeting with other constituents who actually had scheduled appointments with me. What can I do for you? I'd love to help." No. Nobody in their right mind is going to take that meeting. You can go pound sand, literally, and then go back outside and say, "I wouldn't meet with you." Well, by God, I wouldn't meet with you. And I'll hold a press conference later on to tell everybody why I wouldn't meet with you, because you're a bunch of jackwagons and you don't know how to act. Because you're like a bunch of petulant children that think you can do this and throw tantrums. It doesn't work like that. That's not real life. Be an adult. It's not hard. Well, I guess for some it is. There's a thing called maturity missing also. Take me to a break, brother. You can tell I've dealt with some of these folks before. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, speaking from experience. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we got more stuff on this. So this group Indivisible out there. Let me just tell you, 1819 News had a piece on them because, yes, they have been making waves here in Alabama. This is Dateline 2 days ago. It says the headline is from 1819 is far-left Soros-backed Indivisible is behind the AstroTurf-generated call for Alabama congressional town halls. What that headline is basically can be interpreted as is, yes, they are a far-left group. Yes, they do get money from George Soros' organizations. And yes, when it says AstroTurf-generated calls, that means they're fake. They generate the idea of fake uprisings, like there's a vast number of people that demand you attend. Well, anyway, the bottom line is no. They have all kinds of things on their website. They have the Musk or Us Town Hall Recess Toolkit that gives you all the things you need to yell at your elected officials when you get a chance. And they're saying things like, "We are calling on every Republican to host a public town hall and face their constituents whose benefits they're pushing to eliminate." Shut up. But the reality is, Indivisible is very much a minority. They're just working to be a squeaky wheel and invent the clickbait opportunity. By the way, I got to say, can I just jump in there and say, I am going to go ahead and apologize to Chris from Athens. You're laughing. I see you over there, the far side of the studio, laughing. I am apologizing to Chris from Athens. He called in earlier, and it was off topic at the time, but he heard that Congressman Dale Strong is scheduled to be on tomorrow, and he wanted to call in with, and I immediately assumed it was one of these Indivisible people saying, "Tell Congressman Strong." No, it was Chris called back a minute ago, heard me talking to Emily Jones, said, "I'm a big fan of the show, and I just want to know if Space Force was coming." I was immediately feeling bad about it. So, Chris, you are much loved. Thank you very much. Please receive my apologies. But the reality is, I don't know, and we'll try to ask you about Space Force tomorrow. That's just funny. But yeah, so right now what's happening is all the Doge cuts. The Doge cuts have got the left up in arms. Story here from AL.com, Phil, did you go to AL.com? I did. AL.com, the liberal rag of Alabama. AL.com, as the March 22nd town hall in Athens approaches, and it talks about how there's people that want Dale Strong to appear, but he's prepared to leave an empty chair there in his place if he doesn't. Well, do you know what Congressman Strong's schedule is? Is he even in town that day? You don't know. By the way, March 22nd is over the weekend, I believe. The Congressman's office answered the calls and said he does prioritize making himself accessible to constituents through roundtables, mobile office hours, telephone town halls. But what you're asking for here, keep this in mind too, what you're also asking for is for the congressman to show up for an ambush. That's what you're saying. We demand you appear in front of us so we can yell at you. Who's going to answer that call? Well, I will tell you, I've done it. So there's that. I did do it. I think I said earlier, I only went once or twice when the teachers union asked me to appear. The first time I didn't realize I was being asked to appear. The second time I realized, wait a minute, what are they saying? Your time to appear is so... I said, what do you mean my time to appear? I thought, you know what? I'm going to go one more time. I'm going to do this. And I had somebody go with me as a witness. And I walked in loaded for bear. But I didn't yell. I just stood there very calmly in front of them. And like one of them said, are you going to give us back the deductions you made us pay in for our retirement? And I said, no. And they just stood there looking at me. And I said, next question. And I said, why would you not? And I said, well, let me explain it to you. And I told them how we were in budget deficit and how their retirement was due to collapse. And I showed them where their own RSA director, Bronner, had been the one who suggested that we raise the deductions. And one of them said, no one's ever told us that. I said, I know. And then I never came back because I didn't need to. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number 3 here on a Meatloaf Monday. It is in fact a Meatloaf Monday. It's always about the food, right? But we're also thankful for the meals that we get. So there's that. Okay, so I'm going to finish up this section on Indivisible. So yes, this group is a left-wing activist group. They are. Our friend Emily Jones has labeled them the new BLM. What that means basically is they are the new darling of the left. They can do no wrong. They can get away with stuff and no one questions it. It's weird. Like, how in the world is the left allowed to burn things and to shout people down and to create mayhem and just get away with it? Just, you know, like, hey, remember during COVID? People were being arrested for going to the beach and sitting by themselves in the sand. Remember that? People were being told they couldn't go to church. You couldn't go to work. Businesses were being shut down, labeled non-essential by government, and yet BLM was allowed to openly riot in the streets. And that was okay because it was a necessary way of venting their anger.
What was the one story of those surfers had to be brought in because they were surfing out during COVID? It's like
that was in California, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're miles away from everybody
else.
It's
unreal. it was just jackassery. But so Indivisible appears to be in many ways like the new BLM. Now, what do we know about them? Well, we know several things. Like, for instance, right now they are helping to fund the Tesla protest. Fund them? What are we saying here? Well, they have I've got a copy of it straight off their website. They are literally offering to reimburse protesters who will fight back against Musk to include protesting at Tesla dealerships, which, by the way, is a private sector business, which has nothing to do with anything to do with Doge, except that Tesla is a company owned by Elon Musk. Don't you remember back when Elon Musk was just the darling of the left? He was the guy. He was the man. He was going to save the world with electric vehicles. Don't you understand? It's Elon Musk. And then all of a sudden he's a Republican and likes Trump. Well, now we're going to go start setting fire to, Tesla charging stations, throw rocks through the windows at Tesla dealerships, terrorize people. I've got two articles here. One's from the Free Beacon. One is from an online source that I picked up through Twitter, both of which are talking about the fact that Indivisible is now offering to pay up to $200 for people's protest expenses when they go to the Tesla town halls. If they need things like audio and video equipment, signage, promotional materials, and gas to get there, and they're basically saying, you send us the receipts and we'll pay you back up to $200. Where are they getting their money from? Well, what we do know is that George Soros's organizations gave upwards of $7.5 million last year to help fund the organization. Well, where'd they come from? Well, they were founded by a couple of members, Ezra Levine and Leah Greenberg and Angel Padilla, all who have ties to George Soros' organizations, and all of which, by the way, I believe are former Clinton employees. Tells you a lot, doesn't it? So what we're seeing here is an organized effort to do things like, oh, I don't know, why don't we go disrupt town halls? So I thought you wanted town halls. No, we want to disrupt town halls. We want you to gather so we can show up and get some clickbait video out of it. So town halls like Republican lawmakers in Utah, California, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska, in which they try to have a town hall and they can't because the good constituents who came to listen can't hear a thing because of all the screaming and shouting going on by Indivisible. Politico reports also that local activists shouted down Representative Justin Amash, from a Republican from Michigan, that Representative Tom McClintock, Republican from California, had to be escorted out under a security because of protesters. One CNN report showed the disruption of a town hall meeting by Jason Chaffetz. And this article, by the way, I'm looking back, is going back a few years here because Jason Chaffetz is not in office anymore. But that's the way they work. That is absolutely the way they work. And it's just really not worth giving them the time of day. They might make hay. They might get some good clickbait and some followers, and they might raise a lot of money because that's what they really are in it for. They raise a lot of money. But the truth is, those tactics don't change things. You want to organize something, organize the vote. You want to organize something much larger and of meaningful scale. You want to do something, you begin to influence as opposed to shout down, because all you're doing here is just trying to make life miserable. Their goal right now is actually to make life miserable for anybody Republican. That's what it is.
They don't actually want Dale Strong to show up. They want to have an empty seat knowing he won't show up to try to shove
That's
it
right.
in his face. Like, he's scared. No, I guarantee you, if it was a civil environment where they put it on the schedule months ahead and it was like a forum where they can actually discuss, then maybe Dale Strong would show up to that. But if it's a thing where there's just going to be combative and last second where he's already got something else on the schedule, obviously he's not going to cancel his schedule to show up because it's not productive. So like
exactly
they
right.
don't even want him to show up, I don't think. They just want to, they want him to not show up to try to say that he's scared. And I mean, that, like you said, it's just not productive. It's just for show.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, let me get a few text messages before we go to the break. Matt from Madison says, if my texture will work, all of a sudden I'm buffering.
I got it for you if you want.
Matt from Madison, what you got?
He said, how about if those judges are so concerned about their rights, talking about the judge trying to block the deportation flights, yeah, send the judges too so they can make sure none of their rights get violated on the way back.
The judges don't want to run the risk of suddenly having their head shaved and thrown into the wrong cell.
Yeah, I would say.
All right, keep going, man.
Well, mine's buffered too, so there we go. I think our text line's down.
Did our text line just go down?
Probably.
Well, I'll be John Brown. All right. Listen, we're going to do this. I'm going to be working to get our text lines back up. In the meantime, we're going to be switching gears here in a minute. Military reckoning. There's a lot of things happening with the military. Dipper number three is going to focus on the military. All of you green suiters out there who can hear what we're talking about today that are still active at places like Redstone Arsenal, Anderson Army Depot, Maxwell Air Force Base, over yonder in Fort Benning. Yes, I called it Fort Benning. Fort Benning, Georgia. There's a lot of change going on. And I'm curious if any of you want to call in or, well, hopefully text in. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, I got to back up.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay. If you want to call in or text in, I'm going to be curious to hear if military members and or veterans or families of military members feel like the changes are positive, or if you're worried about things that are going on in the DOGE efforts and in the restructuring of all that we have going on with the DOD right now. What do you got, man? Give me some more text messages before the break.
Chris from Athens says, Colonel/Senator Williams, I appreciate the apology, but if JP is the call screener, and since he assumed I was a crazy Democrat, well, you know they, you know what they say about assuming. I didn't assume. I said this guy wants to give you a question for Dale Strong, and then you're the one that thought he was indivisible.
JP,
member.
Well, you know what? I was about to not throw you under the bus until you decided to point your finger at me like that. No, man, it was all me. It was all me. JP has been known to put people on whether I want them on or not. So,
hey, I used to work for Dale Jackson, where every call was an accepted call.
That's because Dale Jackson lives off of that kind of stuff. He doesn't have content; he just has stuff. All right, what else you got?
Jay from Hartsville says the folks showing up to those town halls already have their minds made up. You can't reason with them, so it's a big waste of time. Kind of like watching The View; you will be dumber for it.
Kind of like watching The View, you'll be dumber for it. I think I love that. All right, what else you got?
Allie from Athens texted, and she said, breaking news. I just received a press release from Secretary of State Wes Allen's office celebrating the fact that the lawsuit against him with regard to voter integrity has been completely dismissed.
Woo!
So there's some breaking news there.
I may have to get Wes Allen's office to get him on the show here shortly. All right. Any more for the break? We have about time for one or two.
Two more. David from Tuscumbia says, wouldn't it be nice if somebody could arrange some of the right side ruffians to have a powwow with them at one of their meetings? Just saying peaceful powwow. That's what he said.
You know, there was a time when I was campaigning, actually, and I could smell something coming. There was a meeting, and I could sense from some rumblings on Facebook that the opposition was trying to stir something up for a meeting that I was planning to be at, a big town hall meeting. And so I told one of my guys, I said, you know what we need? We need just as many of our folks there as we can, all wearing our T-shirts, and outnumber them in the room. And we did, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was like put them in their place kind of fun.
Well, maybe we need a bunch of ruffians wearing their right side merch to show up to one of those.
You know what? Put on your right side ruffian shirt and head on down. One more. What you got?
Lee from Huntsville says, Indivisible is trying to attack and bully their way into press covers. They don't really have an interest in question/answer session with Dale Strong. They want news coverage video of them screaming in Dale's face, and it wouldn't serve Rep Strong at all to host a regular town hall in this environment.
Perfect. Take us to the break, JP. Perfect. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, switching to the military reckoning. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.